Rich Claus Show. And now here he is, the host with the most, Mr. Brian Cash Claus.
How's it going, world? How's it going, world? Welcome to the Brian Cash Claus Show. Right now we are here. We are enjoying some food from Kimberly K. Steakery and Fishery. They are located at 1600 Main Street in Dunedin, Florida. And this chicken is delicious, man, I must tell y'all. You know, their phone number is 727-733-7024. And they're open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Cali K's Steakery and Fishery on Main Street. You have to try it. It's delicious. What do you think about it?
What do I think
about the food?
Oh, it's great. I didn't expect it.
No, he's asking me what I think about it. I'm not even eating it.
Yeah, I know. Well, he hasn't introduced me. I mean, you know, people don't even know I'm here. But anyway, this is Dan Burkhoff. I'm being on the show today, co-hosting in a way, I guess. Brian will be joining us soon. Today's show, we're going to be giving away a lot of good prizes, you know, depending on, you know, your perspective. But anyway, they're interesting and fun questions, and it's a variety of different prizes, and we'll be getting to that pretty soon. Does Brian have anything else planned?
It's pretty much your show, and I'm here to help you. You take over. Yeah. It's your show, Dan. Speak to the people.
Okay. Well, these questions that we put together during the week will give people an idea of what this show thinks is important in life. So you can have maybe have some fun with that. The first question that we have here, which isn't too difficult, I think, is, let's see here. Where was Nostradamus born? And the first person that calls in with the correct answer will win their choice of five prizes, a dinner coupon book, Brian's dinner coupon book, an autographed copy of my novel, a raffle ticket to be a guest on this show, a dinner date with Brian.
With Brian?
With Brian.
A dinner date with Brian.
They have a choice.
It sounds like a great prize.
Or a dinner date with me. So those are their choices.
And the question was, again?
The question was, where was Nostradamus born? And I'll throw in what year. Now what we can do is I can, after a short period of time, after people have a chance to digest that, I can ask a follow-up question, start giving the answers, and if people are listening to the show and they hear the answers, then they'll know the answers, they call in and they can win a prize. That makes it easy for them.
We've actually got a guest on the line now.
Great.
Bring him in.
Bring him in. We've got Dr. Rockefeller. Can't make these names up. What a great name. I wish my doctor's name was Dr.
I'm
Rockefeller.
How are you doing?
How's it going?
How are you, Daniel?
Good. How are you?
Very great. I remembered you had the show, so I remembered to call in. Excellent time.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's not going exactly the way I thought, because I thought Brian would be here, but he's the host. But I'm winging it until... I think he's eating some chicken, some fried chicken. He can't stop. So,
are we live right now?
Yeah, we're live.
Okay. I was just wondering if I can ask you a question.
Sure.
In the book, the Nostradamus dies early.
Right.
So who is the main character, and what is his purpose in the book? What is his mission that he is supposed to carry out?
Well, that was pretty much described in last week's show. I guess you didn't hear that show.
If you can sum it up real quick.
Yeah. Well, it's his descendant. It's his seed.
Okay.
It's from his lineage.
Okay.
He's a special seed, and throughout history, I have found that a lot of great men that have done much in life because of their strong spirit been able to have seeds or lineage, descendants, so to speak, that would continue their legacy, or would be able to continue their legacy because of the strong spirit and soul that was passed on to them, because in many cases such individuals would have found their spiritual self and their connection with God, and would find some kind of divine way of being mm-hmm. able to communicate with their descendants who had this special, spiritual divine endowment. And
okay.
And so that's basically this modern day descendant is finishing what Nostradamus started.
Okay.
And a lot of that is described in the letter, the actual letter that he wrote to his seed, which is his son mm-hmm. Caesar.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you get a chance to listen to last week's show, it's a long letter. I read it last week, probably
I'll
about
listen today.
15, 20 minutes long. But it's really effective and stunning, because so much of what he said makes a lot of sense about what's taking place today, because he talks about how man today has evolved, or will have evolved from his time, to be able to understand what his prophecies meant, what the quatrains meant, and it's a special time in our history.
Two more questions, is that possible?
Sure.
In the book, I believe you indicated that man evolved from apes. Is that correct?
Man evolved from primates, exactly.
Primates.
That was also in the show yesterday. I talked about that in length.
Okay. Wanted to confer that, because on my radio show, I also deduced that. Now, how did you come to that conclusion, if you can maybe summarize it in a minute? I know I don't want you to repeat yourself again.
Right. Well, what happened is, I described how the Big Bang and how a lot of mortal beings had to attain a certain level of intelligence. This happens through evolution, that when they attain a certain level of intelligence, they have the ability to embody a soul, where mm-hmm. they can be able to understand the difference between right and wrong, and be involved mm-hmm. in the battle of good and evil, so that God could give them the opportunity to become immortal and to join him, mm-hmm. in his kingdom. So what happens is all animals are creatures or mortal beings that God loves. I mean, because, that's just what he's all about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
they had this opportunity because they evolved and attained enough intelligence that even mm-hmm. though they had been apes and they had evolved, he then gave them a soul. When he gave them a soul, that's when they just took off with their evolution. And then, as it's described in the book, they had relationships, involvements with other intelligent beings, with innate advanced souls such as aliens.
You right there. Are those the root races that we're talking about, the Anunnaki?
Yeah, other alien or other races, be
other races
above
green,
and beyond,
red, white, purple,
right? Above
whatever.
And beyond the human race.
Okay, I see. Yeah. Now, another thing. Thank you for answering that. You mentioned Lucifer in your book. I forget.
Right.
What is your notations or comments about Lucifer? Is he really a fallen angel? Because in my opinion, if all God is love and all God is great, then God would not let any of his beings fall and would forgive for anything.
Right. Well, that's, again, this is an enigma. I got to remember, we're only human. And as I described in the book, and Nostradamus talked about in his letter, we can never truly understand everything about the greatness of God, because we're incapable, because we're mortal. And you have experts, mm-hmm. maybe you or some other one who thinks they have the answers or whatever, or myself. We all don't have the answers. So all we can do is conclude based on evidence or based on our own assertions from doing research and listening to others and try and put it together like I did, like a puzzle, taking all these different pieces of evidence, like a detective would, and just come with what seems like the most reasonable conclusion based on our own intelligence and not letting emotion judge or cloud the conclusion. Facts and evidence is something you can never argue with, as long as it's sound, of course. And these types of things are very difficult because it's not like he gave us a free will and he put us on this earth to prove ourselves in a purgatorial world. So no one really knows, know, but based on, again, what I found, and this is, take it for what it's worth. This is my opinion. I did my research. But, I give a lot of
excellent
examples. And people can draw their own conclusions. Thank you. From the examples that I give, and I try to make it sound like everything comes full circle. All the dots are dotted and everything like this.
All the dots are connected. And
right.
And perfect.
It's a big puzzle. I'm trying to. I try and simplify it by giving all these examples, and it's very thought provoking. That's why people that have read it said, I have to read it again.
Maybe fully understand it and connect all the dots.
Yeah, it's like two or three times even, and even I wrote it. Sometimes I have to read it again.
yeah, you have to.
But in answer to your question, God just is leaving it up to us to figure it out, and that's Nostradamus is trying to let us know that we're approaching a special time in our history where he kind of expects us to have the answers because we are. He expected us to evolve more spiritually than we have. We've evolved
in
many other ways.
So in other words, we're supposed to be
more evolved.
Following. He's telling us that we could choose either A or B, dark or light, good or bad, Z or Y.
Exactly.
And if we follow one path, it's one destiny or free will, and the other one would be another. Is that the correct conclusion?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Okay,
he's giving us,
I see.
And this is all about free will, because when we have free will, we feel there's more self-esteem, there's more self-love. When we discover things on our own, we are empowered to understand, and we see his love, and it gives us a lot of strength, and it makes people happy, and it makes people achieve. And and these are the people that achieve much in their lives, because they can work well with others. No one's an island to themselves. People that are
Working with a team
and divided, they don't achieve very much.
Daniel, I don't know if you want. Do you want to pop the bubble about our possible movie?
Sure. We kind of mentioned it in passing last week, but I'd like to talk about that. Sure, why not?
Yeah, the Rockefeller Entertainment Media Corporation, and also what is Bruce's corporation?
Better World Productions.
And Better World Productions in association. We're planning on turning Daniel's book, which is remarkable, into a blockbuster, world-renowned blockbuster video tentatively called The Prophet. So we're in talks with Daniel and with Lion Gates and different studios about this right now. It's been a little bit slow over the holiday season, but I foresee this to be either a documentary or a film. All over the world,
Well, that's really exciting. Thanks for sharing that.
I'm excited to be part of it. It's going to be a great journey.
Definitely. It makes it everything that I tried to do with this book worthwhile, because it's something that I found after 3 years of work, putting my heart and soul into it, that it needed to get out, because I was really surprised what I was able to find out.
It's a stellar book. I don't want to give the screenplay away, but it is remarkable. It is truly remarkable. Now, just backtracking on the book, can I ask you one question?
Sure.
If Nostradamus was alive today, I know we sort of touched upon it, of going through one path or another.
Mm-hmm.
What is the number one thing he would tell humanity, or humanoid, if you will, right now?
He would just tell them, didn't you listen to me? I says, you need to change your ways. I mean, it's almost like Pope Francis, if you listen to what he's been saying recently,
yeah,
it's almost like he's a mouthpiece for Nostradamus right now. Because a lot of what he's saying is, I think, what Nostradamus would be saying about man being too selfish, about man that when they achieve these advancements, that that God knew would happen, and he was hoping they would evolve in a way that their souls would become strong, and they would win the battle of good and evil. So that's the whole thing about having a soul, is winning the battle of good and evil. And Lucifer...
You mean that inner jihad
right,
within ourselves?
Right, right. You mentioned Lucifer being a fallen angel. Well, my history showed that Lucifer had been an angel with Michael, and he was fallen because he didn't want to be in the kingdom of heaven with the way it was being run by God.
And not to argue with you, but would not logic follow that God is all loving, God is all good, and God will forgive Lucifer?
Well, he didn't ban Lucifer so much as he told Lucifer, if you don't like it, you're welcome to leave and start your own kingdom.
Oh, so that
kingdom.
Was Lucifer's free will.
Right, so Lucifer was angry because he was envious because Michael the Archangel was getting, you know, certain favors maybe he thought he deserved. You know, he had this pride, and, you know, he thought he was... He could do things better. And so God says, well, you know, he says, but if you leave and start your own kingdom, that's your choice. Do not expect to be coming back.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, I understand completely.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to, hey, thanks for being on the show. You want to stay on a little bit? We're going to go to our next caller. We got Jeff on the line. He deals with Obamacare.
Thanks, Mahal.
You can stay on the line if you like, too.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Great. That's fine. And the great questions you asked, too, and they're kind of scary questions. Go to Jeff. You're on, Jeff?
I'm here, Brian. How you doing?
You know, it's funny. Like, I watch shows myself, half-hour shows. You ever watch Spiritual Channel shows, Jeff?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't really have a lot of time to watch TV during normal enrollment. But outside of open enrollment, we do, you know, like the History Channel,
Yeah, I love the History Channel. But what I was going to say to you is I watch some of these preachers, right? And then I watch them for about an hour, and I'm more scared and frightened an hour after watching them than when I, you know, I want to watch them because I'm frightened and scared. But then when I watch Joel Osteen, right, I get a different take on it. Like, I always feel good after I watch him. But if I watch a preacher that's preaching about Lucifer and Satan and sin and condemnation and
fire and brimstone,
I don't want to hear that, even though it's probably out there and it's true and all that.
Fear, yeah.
You know, I want to hear stuff about how you can do it. Life's great. You have joy in your life. You're at peace when you trust in God. So, like,
whatever,
this
some things that Joel Osteen has said, and not one thing has ever resonated with me, and I'm like, well, that's current, that's, you know.
So have you listened to Joel Osteen before?
Yourself? Not a full. I don't know if he's on for an hour or 2 hours, but
if you give him a chance, he's really got a positive message. But that's
I mean, a lot of people have positive messages, but what are they selling?
What is he selling, and why? What is his motive? Is his motive his self-interest, self-love, or how can I serve, or is it how can I buy myself another Gulfstream jet or a Rolls Royce?
But he never asked for money. If you ever watch,
or a $26 million mansion that he lives in.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but it's psychological. You know, he knows people will give to him. He doesn't have to ask.
But if you notice, isn't it weird? He's the one guy that took in the most money as a preacher, but he's the only one that never asked for money.
Let me ask you a question.
That's a paradox.
Let me ask you a question. If a preacher like this, who talks about loving all men, is given a lot of money, why doesn't he give it to the poor like Christ would do if he's a Christian? Or a foundation? Why does he have to buy all these material things?
I'll tell you
is
why.
Is it because he wants the people to think he's important, so they'll give him more money, so
no.
he can get even richer?
He wants to seem godly in a big $20 million mansion.
Well, wasn't King David living in a castle?
He was a king, and that was back in the old days. This is today.
Preacher.
This is modern times.
There's a big distinction.
It's a different age we live in.
Mm. And the King David kingdom is actually in dispute as well. You know, so the reality might not be what was perceived. you know, his kingdom might have just been a few houses and a brick building.
Exactly. Everyone is owning a kingdom.
Well, I'd rather myself personally.
In the Book of Corinthians, it says, in the blink of an eye, our body will turn into a beam of light. Alexander was a great man. He conquered the whole world. When he died, he buried himself with his torso up. And he said, I conquered the whole world, but I know I'm not taking it to heaven. The flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. So he said, I'm giving it all the way back.
Okay. I got a quote right here. It's from my poetry book from Corinthians 1 in the Old Testament. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. So, anyway.
I think that's a good message. Say that again, because I like that, what love is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love is patient.
Get closer to the mic.
Okay. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. And that's from Corinthians 1 in the Old Testament Bible.
Say it again.
Yeah, and then there, when you look at Matthew 19, and he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. So when you look at,
do you know what that means? That camel goes through an eye of a needle. Do you know what that means?
No, tell me.
Back then they made it so the people could walk through, but they made the passageway not as big, so a camel could go through. So they had all these like doorways that were open. But they were made just big enough so people could walk through. But if an army attacked them, the camels wouldn't get through. And that's where the eye of the needle can. That's where the camels go. That's the needle. It was called the needle. And most people think it's a needle like you sew with. It's not.
I have a different take on that. I'm sorry to. I think they're talking about, for example, Moses saw a burning bush on Mount Sinai. That was his pineal gland. The eye he's talking about is his pineal gland or psychic third eye. This is my take on it.
But the point is that I think God says be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful means make money.
Yes.
And you can enjoy life and make a lot of money.
Yeah, but where do you draw the line? How much money? See, that's the test. That's
part of infinite
how much do you really need? I mean, money is just a tool, is all it is. It's not, to a lot of people, that's all that matters. It's supposed to get you the happiness and quality of life. It's not supposed to be what runs your life. And that's not the problem in our society, is it runs people's lives.
And I do that. I'm boastful. I was just boastful on the way here. And you know, they say continue to take personal inventory. When you're wrong, you promptly admit it.
Because it says in the Bible to share. I mean, you know. People call it socialism. I get tired of all that bullshit.
Mother Teresa said, you're a hypocrite if you say you love God if you don't love your brother and sister whom you do see.
But sometimes I give. I'm just going to tell you about me personally. I'll give it that I do it resentfully. Like I help people, right?
Right.
So then I'm like, oh, man, I could have really used that money somewhere else. Or I get angry, actually, I would say. Sometimes.
Well, there's your heart, and you'll get returned infinitely, you know?
But have you ever given to someone and felt sad afterwards?
Yeah, I've done that. But then I knew that everything was in divine order. In St. Paul's Cathedral Church, it's called Desideria. It's go placidly among your dreams, blah, blah, blah. Everything is, you're supposed to be here. The universe, the stars, the bees, etc. Everything is in divine order. This is a universe that makes cosmos. It makes butterflies. It makes giraffes, humans, into Beyonce, into divineness. Sculpts diamonds. You know, it doesn't make mistakes. Everything.
Well, hey Jeff, let me ask you this question, Jeff.
Yeah.
In your business life, right? How would you rate how you operate your business? Is it in the spiritual? I don't mean to put you on the spot with this, and you don't have to answer me. Do you put spiritual principles behind how you run your business, or is it material world?
No, I think I'm more logical. I don't follow any spiritual path, especially not in business.
What does that mean by logical?
Like logical, I don't.
Like, give me an example.
Christian-based. Like marketing. My marketing is tactical. I don't do marketing and say, okay, well, I need to do this even distribution of marketing. No, I need to do targeted marketing that's going to give me the best result.
I got a question for Jeff. Jeff, when you reach, I'm sure you've got certain goals and financially, And when you get to a point where you reach the goal, do you want to move on to see how wealthy you can get? Or do you want to say, well, I'm really happy with what I have, and I want to kind of continue with the success, but at the same time, you know, help the less fortunate, or help, of course, your family and friends to find some success as well. Do you, like a lot of celebrities right now, I could go on a list of about 20 or 30 off the top of my head that are, give a lot of money, you know, to charities and philanthropists. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are just a couple of examples. Matt Damon's another one. But would you, if you were, let's say you were a millionaire, would you do something similar to that, or maybe give to a foundation? Just a question.
You see, I think I'm a little bit different in that, and well, I don't want to give to foundations. Mm-hmm. I want to, my ultimate goal is to build affordable, sustainable housing for low-income families.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that is a way, that is a humanitarian.
Yeah, exactly. Humanitarian, that's the word.
That's it.
Yep. That's the word, humanitarian.
Right.
You know, whereas my philosophy.
Think about it. My whole business model is to help an underserved community, to educate, and to assist free of charge. And that's how I make
it. So you're empowering, not to get cut in the way. So you are empowering. You are doing how can I serve type of work.
Exactly. That's great. I'm not preaching in churches. I'm not.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. Yeah, but it's great that you are doing the work you are doing.
People that have the same licenses as me that are going to churches, and they're charging $99 application fees to people, where I do the same thing, in my opinion, better, for free.
You know what I heard a long time ago?
In your heart, if you don't have a, why go to a temple if you don't have a temple in your heart? You know, you don't have to go to a temple or a mosque or a church to go pray to God. What you're doing there working is just fine. You're humanitarian, construction, low income, etc. I think it's very commendable, you know?
You're doing the right thing because it's right, Jeff, but yeah. The world...
Did it say commendable or condemnable?
Condemnable,
hey,
for
good,
me.
Good.
Hey, anyhow. Anyhow, Jeff, here's a, what does this mean to you? Where the world, where I judged myself by my intentions, but the world judged me by my actions. I'll say it again. I judged myself by my intentions, where the world judged me by my actions. What's the difference there?
Well, then it's just an excuse.
Well, actions always speak louder than words, anyway.
To justify what you were trying to
my intentions
do.
Really don't matter, right?
Not really. I don't think they do.
Because what really is what I actually do matters, right?
That's right. Deeds is what counts, because that's what people remember you for.
Right.
You can say what people say. Talk is cheap. It's fine to be able to talk, but you got to be able to back it up. You know, and a lot of people don't do that.
For example, we'll have a million people listening to a speech. One will think he's an asshole. One will think he's a saint. One will think he's God.
Exactly. It's a perspective.
You know? So it be independent of the good opinion of others. Don't care what other people think.
Yeah.
Follow on your good intention.
Yeah. Well, you have good intentions, but people could have good intentions, but you know, it doesn't mean they're going to do a lot. What matters is the end result. And the
who knows?
You know, the
who
deeds,
knows what the difference between a purpose and a goal is? What's the difference? Because I heard Nostradamus Dan here ask, you know, what's your goals, right? So what's the difference between a goal and having a purpose?
I can answer.
A goal is something that I have a goal to attain my MBA. I have a goal to attain CEO position. A purpose, man cannot live without purpose in life. Otherwise, he is dead philosophically. What is the purpose of my life?
Right.
To serve
Mahal.
Humanity? Is it for me to grow, become enriched, and gobble up and buy Gulfstream jets and Boeings?
A purpose is spiritual.
Purpose,
exactly.
You know?
A goal is a means to achieve the purpose. It's a step.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff,
like taking steps. What is my goal to achieve my purpose? Well, that's something that you have to understand through your relationship with God. What is my purpose in life?
Jeff, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think your purpose is, it does not have an end point. Or a goal is just, okay, I have a 1-year goal, a 5-year goal, a 10-year goal, a 30-year goal.
Right.
Those all have specific time periods where your purpose is never ending.
That's right. It's ongoing.
Right.
The difference is a goal. What a goal is an accomplishment. It has a beginning and an end. Her purpose is ongoing and gives someone meaning in life. And how you can tell what someone's purpose is what would be written on your tombstone. Here's a guy that you were. My purpose was I was a good father. I was a good brother. I stopped trying to get what I wanted, and I started helping people get what they wanted, and in turn, I got what I wanted. If you live by that as your purpose, stop trying to get what you want and help people get what they want, you will have a happy life, you will have a life that's more successful, and you'll have a life that you make more money than you can even imagine. The opposite of what the material world tells you.
Right.
That's my meaning.
Yeah.
Who has a question? Jeff, do you have a question for Dan? He wrote the book on, tell him the name of the book you wrote.
The Nostradamus Mission.
Right. And they're trying to make it into a movie. Okay. Do you know anything about Nostradamus, Jeff?
Really not much other than just kind of reading or watching a few specials on him.
Documentaries, yeah. A lot of people don't know the
Yeah,
the significance of his life.
What do you think of Nostradamus, Jeff? What's your theory on that?
He doesn't know much about him.
If I was to sum up one word for Nostradamus, it would probably be, kooky.
Kooky, really?
He was like off the beaten path. In his time, he was probably in modern times, he would probably be on 34th Street in Manhattan, walking up and down the block.
He's making a judgment. He doesn't know anything about him, so it's.
That's okay. Well, we're going to educate you on. He's not kooky.
No.
He's actually a prophet.
He's more than a prophet. You have to read the book. So.
But you really think he's kooky? Do you believe that people can tell the. Jeff, this is just real. Do you believe people can tell the future?
Can tell them? No. I think some people are more intuitive than others.
Is there like that psychic sixth sense?
No.
There are such things as psychics. Do you think people can be psychics?
No, I don't think people can be psychics.
Do you ever have it where you sense something yourself?
Sense something?
Yeah.
I think I have a good intuition, like a good feeling about people, about where my life is going to go, about if one thing happens, or if this next thing happens, what's going to be that next chain reaction? So I think in that sense, and a lot of things that I think, if it goes this way, this is going to happen. If it goes that way, this is the next possible outcome. I think just some people are just better than that than others.
Okay, tell us about Obamacare. Like, what do you want to tell the people? Just do like a minute commercial and then give your phone number.
Okay, you got it. A lot of people have a lot of questions about Obamacare. What they don't know is it's the same health insurance product that you could get in a group or buy on the individual month yourself. But based on your age, your income, and your family size, if your income is between, let's just say, $11,600 and $96,000, and your family size is between 1 and 4, there's a good chance that you're going to qualify for a discount on those same health insurance plans. If you have questions, feel free to give me a call on my cell phone direct, 727-417-5534. Again, 727-417-5534. You can go to universalobamacare.com.
Wow, and how's it working? How's the enrollment? Are they where they thought they would be? Or are they behind schedule? Or is Obamacare right on track with the enrollments?
No, as of December 15th, they were way ahead. I think it slowed down with the holiday season. So I think now they're back at par.
Good.
Where they expected to be, at this time in the year. Considered to be the mother of all open enrollments.
Do you know who left with the lowest approval rating as president? Do you know that?
What's that?
Who left with the lowest approval rating?
I'm not really sure. I mean, the polls, you have different polls. Last I heard, the lowest was Bush, but...
No, it actually was...
I don't know.
It was Harry Truman.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And because he didn't want to invade China and all that, and he didn't go for the Third World War... And he fired MacArthur. And at the time, he was considered, left. They didn't even have Secret Service back then to guard him. So what happened was he left with the lowest approval rating. Do you know who has historians say he's one of the greatest presidents now? Harry Truman. Because he went against the polls and all the stuff like that.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage.
In time, will Obamacare be similar to that?
Possible.
Is in time, will people look back on this and say the man was like Martin Luther King or Gandhi or something like that? In time, will this...
I don't think the ECA is going to turn him into anything that...
I mean, like, because now a lot of people are against it and all that, and like, you know, all the controversy.
But they were against Medicare and Social Security, too.
That's what I'm saying. In time, will he go down as one of the greatest presidents, Obama?
Well, there's more to it, the presidency, than just Obamacare.
I think so, because
you also have to think about who's writing the book.
Right.
The States of America.
We'll give you a number again, Jeff.
Sure, it's 727-417-5534 and universalobamacare.com. Give me a call, see how Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act affects you. You know, don't believe what other people say. Everybody's different.
Okay, and if you like to stay on the air, you can. I just like to ask Dan here some questions. Oh, no, Kenny? No, we have to free up a line. Okay.
All right, you got it.
Jeff. Thank you for taking the time to get on the show and give a different side and a different view and having the courage to say what's in your heart and not just to go with the flow.
I always do.
And that takes a real man.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
For the rest of the show.
Thank you, buddy. And thanks for being on the show. So what's the buzz going on with the movie and all that with the with your stuff? What's going on? Like, what's the latest buzz in the air?
Well, you heard Dr. Rockefeller, who was just on Mahal Rockefeller. He's involved with a group of investors. He mentioned Bruce Dorfman with Better World Productions, and a couple of good friends of theirs, and also. I have another investor from India who has an investor who is an oil tycoon from the Middle East. He's got a lot of money, and he's also interested in it as well. And then I have someone else who is independently wealthy, and he's retired. He's Italian. We have ties to the mafia, I don't know. But anyway.
The oil tycoon?
No, that's the second one. The third one is the other one. There's three of them. But the one that's by far the most sound is Dr. Rockefeller, who was on earlier.
Wow.
Because he knows Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Good friends mm-hmm. with Sean Stone, who's the son of Oliver Stone Jr.
Oliver Stone.
He's good. He knows Beyonce and Jay-Z. And
real quick, so we're going to go to Renee.
Yeah, we've got your good friend Renee, who's on the phone right now.
Renee, how are you?
I don't know. I want to hear about that independently wealthy person, and how can I get there?
He likes people that have consignment shops, too.
Oh, good. Yes, we want all the independently wealthy people to bring all their stuff here so we can sell it to us people who need all that fine stuff.
Well, the deal here, what this is going on here, Renee, just give you an update. This is a gentleman that wrote a book about Nostradamus, and the name of the book is?
The Nostradamus Mission.
And how long ago did you write it?
About three years ago.
Yeah. And they're trying to make it into a movie. Have you ever been part of something where a movie or a play or anything like that before, Renee, in the past, in your life?
Yes.
Were you an actress?
No.
What was your deal?
I don't know. I used to host a music video show, country and western music video show.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Wow. Do you sing yourself?
Gosh, no. You don't want to hear me sing.
Do you think there might be a part for her in the movie?
Sure. There's a lot of different parts, characters. Might have to have a little audition, you know.
Would you mind if I give you a signed autograph of the book for you to read?
Oh, I'd love that.
How about that?
Sure.
Yeah, he'll sign it. Because when this gets made, we have a lot of interest. He does, I shouldn't say we. And it would be kind of neat. You want to hear the basis of the book, just like a synopsis of it? Or
Yeah, please.
Okay, go ahead. Tell her what the book is basically, what the book is about.
Well, it's about a modern-day descendant of Nostradamus who tries to finish what Nostradamus started, about warning us about the end times. He uncovers a plot by two rival secret societies who wants to instigate World War III because they want to establish the global world order that a lot of independent medias are currently talking about. And what he does is he decides to let mankind know the truth about a lot of mysteries that have mystified us and historians for centuries, to help us realize what our true spiritual purpose is, so that we can come together to overcome this this evil. And he attains the help of a hotel psychic night auditor, a college student who uncovers the plot, a marksman private investigator. They team together with an alien from another planet who is the race that was involved in the Roswell incident in 1947, and he establishes an avatar army to help the descendant of Nostradamus defeat these people that are trying to take over the world with a global order. So it's a little crazy, but it's put together.
Sounds
pretty
very
well.
Interesting.
Wow, huh? What do you? When I heard it, what I said, wow. Can you add something to that, Renee? Because we're looking for some ideas. I mean, we got something you can add to that?
I don't think there is.
How about a country?
No,
I tell you what, I got it. The plot takes place at where a country singer is doing a show, and the person that's in charge of doing the show has secret documents in her hotel room that they got to get into. But they're waiting for the lady to leave the room. But she's in there writing a song, and her name is Renee.
Don't walk away.
Now, there is a local connection. The story starts in a hotel in Palm Harbor, Florida, and it goes from there.
So you want the part?
Oh, sure, always.
But is there anything you can add to the movie? Like, you think of something? I mean, it's pretty.
Well, let me read the book, and after I read the book, I'll come up with some wonderful plot ideas.
And maybe you can come in here after you read the book and ask Dan some questions.
That sounds wonderful. I would enjoy that.
But he's not just saying he wrote a book, you know. I'm going to write a book. He wrote a book.
It's already done and published.
It's already published.
And in your hot little hands.
Let's get my guest on here.
Yeah, and then also, too, what he's going to do is he's going to make it into an audio in the next couple of weeks, where he's already reserved time. And we're actually looking for people to do parts in the book to read. So, I mean, he's looking. I kept saying we.
Yeah, it'll be the first week in February. We're going to do an audio tape, and I'm going to have different people read the different characters in the book. And we're going to use sound effects, music, the whole nine yards. It'll be quite an experience, something really different. So if anybody interested, they can call into the show. We're going to be doing it about 5 weeks from now. So,
Renee, why don't you talk a little bit about... I'm sorry, I know you called. You were very nice to be part of this with us. But talk a little bit about what you got going on. You got the finest consignment shop. Tell people what you got, your location, and your phone number.
Well, we're located here in Dunedin off of Main Street. We're right next to the Walmart neighborhood grocery store. We have ladies... excuse me, I got over the cold, but the cough hasn't left me yet. We've got ladies' clothing, casual clothing, furniture, household accessories, decor, jewelry, purses. So we've got a little bit of everything. We could probably outfit the movie. We could take care of all that for him.
A lot of it will be filmed right here in Florida, probably almost 50% of it, and probably almost that and locally. So,
right, we can get all our costumes and stuff from you.
Right.
Again, we. It's Dan's deal. I just keep saying we because I say that's how I talk.
Because you know me.
Because I'm friends with Dan, but it's he's 100% in charge.
We're friends for now.
But that would be something. We can get all our costumes from Renee.
Yeah,
the costumes and all the decor for all the rooms and the offices. Yeah,
and maybe we can even do a scene out of your location somehow.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Well, you know, it's based on a script that I wrote. So
yes, here's an idea. I'm gonna go with this. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dan, but look, some chest, an old chest, is brought into Renee's shop. You open up the chest, and there's secret documents from like 300 years ago, or secret documents that somehow was in the chest.
Ooh, in a secret compartment.
In a secret compartment, no less. All right.
Okay. Sounds good.
Anyhow, can you get their song on? You want to hear something real quick? My son was in a group. You want, Renee? 15 people were in the group.
Uh-huh.
$500 first prize.
Wow.
Guess what place they came in?
First prize.
Yeah. They were all dressed in white.
Great.
My son serenaded one of the girls in the audience. And just on cue, this girl that we never even met before, never knew, guess what she did?
She swooned.
That's the word. She started crying, I tell people, but she swooned.
She swooned.
So anyhow, they announced who's in first place. Guess who came in first place? They said REA. It was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Well, and you know what? Papa.
They were all dressed in white, with white shoes, white suits, and white glasses. It was really done nice.
Wow, it sounds like it.
Anyhow, thank you, Renee, for being on the show.
Well, thank you. You guys take care, and I'm very interested in reading this book.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Enjoy it.
Okay.
All right, you guys have a fantastic day.
You too. Renee, know this. You're the best.
Thanks. Happy New Year, guys.
Say the name of your company one more time.
Second Time Treasures.
Address?
2116 Main Street in Dunedin, Florida. The telephone number is 727-736-5050.
Okay.
50-50.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Good. Why can't you put the music on? Just say it. Tell me why.
It's not a radio.
It's not clean.
Well, then you can't.
It's not the radio edit. We need the Walmart copy.
Okay.
We don't want the Best Buy copy. We need the Walmart copy.
Okay, ask a question. Okay, that's fine. But we got REA in the house. They wrote the song and stuff.
I got some upcoming shows or something.
Okay, you want to just let them announce a couple upcoming shows since you came all the way out here from Orlando.
How y'all doing, everybody? It's Jay Young representing REA. I'm here with my artist, Milio.
Milio in the house. What's up?
Anybody in the Tampa Bay, Orlando area, we got a show up. We'll be in Orlando today. Y'all can check it out at Club Sapphire. It's hosted by G Live. We're going to have people up there looking at us from Russell Simmons. So y'all come mess with us. We also got a show January 4th out there also in Longwood, Florida with the same one, G Live. It's going to be on Facebook, REA.com, on Facebook.com, SoundCloud.com, REA Music.
Well, there you go. Well, good job. We got this gentleman here. He's an author of a book. And so tell him, Dan, what you did, and where you're at. You got like 2 minutes to do it all.
I'm going
to
repeat myself again. Okay. I wrote a book about the descendant of Nostradamus. And he tries to save the world, and that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
And I'd like to thank this gentleman. Can you get on real quick? He got me some glasses.
This is a friend of mine, Terry Farb. We're going to be collaborating on a book about drug addiction. And
oh, really?
He's got a lot of knowledge about the subject. And
I got 20 years clean and sober.
Yeah.
Seriously. And on January 4th, it'll actually be 21 years.
So let Terry talk a little bit about what he wants to do with it.
I think you got 1 minute, so go ahead.
We're talking about writing a book on the history of drug policy in this country and where it's at today and hopefully where we can nudge it towards in the future.
And where would you like to see it nudge?
I'd like to see it going towards the Amsterdam, Portugal model of total decriminalization, legalization of the softer drugs, and shifting it from a criminal law enforcement issue to a public health issue.
And you know, criminal crimes and all that going down since they legalized it in Amsterdam. All the countries that have done it, crime has gone down.
Right. And even in here in this country, in Colorado and Washington State, the two states that have legalized marijuana have seen drops in crime. However, they have seen increases in stone driving. So.